Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 30th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the pound weakens again as bets on a no-deal Brexit rise.
The yen strengthens as the Bank of Japan keeps policy unchanged.
U.S. officials arrive in Shanghai for trade talks with China.
And Fed officials gather in Washington for day one of their policy meeting.
Joe Biden gains in a new poll, and a data breach at Capital One exposes 100 million. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets have traded Jason Vargas to the Phillies. They're in Chicago tonight to face the White Sox. The Yankees home for Arizona.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and European shares are lower this morning, coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 6 points. Dow futures down 55. NASDAQ futures down 28. The DAX in Germany is down 1.2%. CAC in Paris down 0.6%. And the FTSE 100 little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.4%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.05%. Yield on the 2-year 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 58 cents at $57.46 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $7.60 to $14.41 an ounce. The euro 1.1146 against the dollar and the yen 108.57. Nathan.
And Karen, the pound continues to weaken today as bets on a no-deal Brexit rise. Sterling is trading at 1.2184 against the dollar as Prime Minister Boris Johnson issues an ultimatum to the European Union. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Boris Johnson talking tough with the European Union. He'll spend the next few weeks pressing the bloc to negotiate a better Brexit agreement, whilst at the same time preparing for a no-deal exit if he fails. EU leaders, though, have repeatedly said the withdrawal agreement isn't up for discussion. Johnson is calling for optimism, but the rising mood in the business world is of alarm at the prospect of the damage a no-deal split could do to the economy. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. The yen is stronger after the Bank of Japan left interest rates unchanged and trimmed its inflation forecast. The central bank is also continuing its pledge to keep rates low through the spring of 2020. Kathy Matsui is chief Japan equity strategist at Goldman Sachs.
Although they say that there are a lot of options, we think, in our view, that the options are actually relatively limited. When you are faced with pretty limited options to begin with, do you want to pull those cards now? Keep those cards for the future.
And in its quarterly outlook report, the BOJ says risks to inflation and economic activity are both skewed to the downside.
Stocks in Asia saw modest gains in today's session. Here with details from our Singapore bureau is Bloomberg's Juliet Sally. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Nikkei 225 finished higher by 0.4% in Tokyo. There are signals that Japan's economy is being negatively impacted by global trade tension. Factory output fell more than expected in June. Stocks in Hong Kong recovered after falling to a 6-week low Monday in the wake of the weekend protests. The CSI 300 finished higher by 0.4%, while South Korea's KOSPI was up 0.5%. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer have landed in Shanghai to resume trade talks with China. Sources tell us they'll meet with Chinese negotiators for dinner ahead of the first face-to-face talks in nearly 3 months. Cleed Willems is former deputy director of the U.S. National Economic Council.
The reality is, for the last 2.5 months, the sides haven't really been talking about the real issues. They haven't been talking about the structural issues. There's been a lot of focus on agriculture and Huawei. And I think the reason this week is going to be so important is that they're going to see, can they start from the baseline of where they were in May, or are they going to take a step backward?
And expectations for a breakthrough remain low. China is pushing for a compromise in the talks, with state media saying the U.S. should meet it halfway.
Federal Reserve officials meet to begin day one of their two-day policy meeting today. A rate cut of 25 basis points appears certain, though there are still calls for a 50-point reduction. Vince Reinhardt is chief economist at Standish, part of BNY Mellon Investment Management.
Market participants have considerable easing priced in over the course of the year. What I think they should do is cut 50, say this is a fire break, it balances the risk, let's just get on with our lives.
You know, markets are currently pricing in just a 22% chance of a 50 basis point cut.
The president of Mexico would like to see his central bank lower interest rates. In an exclusive interview with Bloomberg, Andrés Manuel López Obrador said rates are too high for Mexico's slowing economy. He spoke to a Bloomberg editor-in-chief, John Micklethwaite, through an interpreter.
It's important to lower the rates to encourage growth. This is an issue that I'm leaving for the central bank to decide. Because we trust we're not just going to be able to grow, but also to develop.
And until now, the president of Mexico had steered clear from public comments on interest rates and says he respects the central bank's independence.
All right, turning to news on Wall Street now, Citigroup is preparing to cut hundreds of jobs in its trading division. That's according to sources who tell Bloomberg Citi will slash jobs across its fixed income and stock trading operations. We get more from Bloomberg's Jenny Serain.
Citi is actually in a really rare position. They're actually under a lot more pressure to cut costs than most of the other Wall Street banks. They've set some pretty lofty targets. Usually, you know, in the first half, it's the best time for banks. When we didn't see that materialize this year, it basically means for Citi to meet those targets, they really have to cut costs if they want to achieve those goals.
Sources say the cuts include at least 100 jobs in Citi's equities unit, which amounts to nearly 10% of the division's workforce.
On the earnings front, it looks like Huawei is withstanding U.S. efforts to curb its business. Huawei reported a 23% rise in first-half revenue, but warns that future difficulties could slow the pace of growth.
Shares of Beyond Meat are down more than 12% in early trading. The company reported upbeat earnings with sales topping estimates, but also announced a plan to sell more than 3 million shares. The secondary offering will put about 5% of the company's outstanding shares on the market and allow early investors to take some profits.
And coming up today, we get earnings from 50 companies in the S&P 500. They include Procter & Gamble, Merck, AMD, and Apple. And futures this morning moving lower. S&P futures are down about 7 points. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and John Tucker is here to tell us more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. Joe Biden gained while Kamala Harris dropped at a new Quinnipiac University poll just ahead of the latest Democratic debates over the next 2 nights. And Bloomberg's Bob Moon tells us some of the crowded field are feeling pressure to make an impression.
The new poll finds the former vice president regained the support he lost in his clash with California Senator Kamala Harris during their face-off last time. Senators Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts and Bernie Sanders of Vermont saw little change, which may lead to some sparks as they and other candidates feel the clock ticking on their chance to set themselves apart. Breonna Joy Gray, national press secretary for the Sanders campaign, says the candidates owe it to voters to contrast their policies.
Making it clear to them what choices they have between candidates.
She says that doesn't mean making personal attacks. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bloomberg Radio is carrying the debates live starting at 8 p.m. Wall Street time. Capital One Financial says data from about 100 million people in the U.S. was illegally accessed. The data includes about 140,000 Social Security numbers. A former Amazon Web Services employee has been arrested in the case and accused of breaking into the bank's server. Paige Thompson was arrested Monday and appeared in federal court in Seattle. Prosecutors say the data theft occurred sometime between March 12th and July 17th. The largest category of data stolen was supplied by consumers and small businesses when they applied for credit cards from 2005 through early 2019. A vigil in the town of Gilroy, California last night following the shooting at the Garlic Festival in Gilroy on Sunday that left 3 dead. Gilroy's mayor, Roland Velasco.
We may never know the true motives of the individual. But we know that Gilroy is strong, that the strength of the people is all of you, and we will overcome.
The shooter, whom police identified as 19-year-old Santino William Legan, was killed at the scene. Authorities say he legally purchased his assault-style weapon in Las Vegas. More than 2 weeks after a blackout plunged much of Manhattan's west side into darkness, Con Ed has identified the culprit. Poor wiring. A utility spokesman says faulty wiring was installed 11 years ago between sensors and a relay system designed to detect and keep electrical faults from spreading. On July 13th, a 13,000-volt underground cable broke down, and sensors failed to alert the system to open breakers and isolate the outage. Global News 24 hours a day, on the air, and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashow.
Nathan, baseball's trade deadline, 4 o'clock tomorrow. Yankees have so far been quiet. That could change. No secret they'd like to add a starting pitcher. The Mets have been active the day after acquiring Marcus Stroman from Toronto. They shipped free agent to be Jason Vargas to Philadelphia for a 26-year-old catcher who was batting 195 in AA. Vargas, after struggling as a Met, was pitching well. Now he'll try to help the Phillies in the NL East, where last night things got closer. Washington beat Atlanta 6-3. Anthony Rendon hit a grand slam, and the Nationals now trail the Braves by 4.5 games. As for Stroman becoming a Met, it's a homecoming. He grew up in Medford, Long Island.
My family's excited. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be able to play baseball in kind of my backyard. They're going to be able to come watch me pitch every game. So I've been getting a huge outpouring from a lot of my family who's actually been huge Met fans from the start of it.
Stroman, while growing up, played with and against his new teammate, Steven Matz. Noah Syndergaard on the mound tonight in Chicago against the White Sox, unless he gets traded. He's been mentioned in many rumors. Even if he makes the start, it could be Syndergaard's last as a Met. Yankees will start Jay Happ at the stadium versus Arizona. Diamondbacks have a pitcher in Robbie Ray who could end up as a Yank. Giants have already seen two wide receivers get hurt and a third, Golden Tate, get suspended. Now newly acquired Jet wideout Jamison Crowder has an injured foot, suffered late in practice yesterday. He's headed for an MRI. Dallas Cowboys have signed veteran running back Alfred Morris. They had him before he was with the 49ers last year. Of course, the Cowboys star Zeke Elliott holding out in a contract dispute. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
John, a Louisiana judge has ordered NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and three officials from January's NFC title game to be questioned under oath about the infamous no-call that helped the Rams beat the Saints and advance to the Super Bowl. Attorney Antonio Lamont filed the lawsuit. He says he and league attorneys will pick a mutually agreeable date for depositions in New Orleans coming up in September. This is Bloomberg. It's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we speak with Bloomberg Markets Live FX and rate strategist Richard Jones on positioning for a no-deal Brexit and a dovish Fed. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moskow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Earnings from BP beat estimates, bucking the trend of disappointments from oil majors. Output surged, compensating for lower prices. Apple reports after the close of U.S. trading. Bloomberg Intelligence says iPhone sales likely dropped 10% in the third quarter, but revenue from other segments may compensate. The Bank of Japan kept policy unchanged while trimming its inflation forecasts. The central bank appears to be taking a wait-and-see stance before tomorrow's Fed decision. And there's more bad news for the euro area. Economic growth in France slowed to 0.2% in the second quarter. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures lower, down 10 points. Dow futures down 77. NASDAQ futures down 39. The DAX in Germany is down 1.4%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. Yield 2.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 51 cents at $57.38 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $8.20 to $14.41.50 an ounce. The euro, 1.1151 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2183, and the yen, 108.51. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. The Democratic presidential debates get underway in Detroit this evening. Joe Biden will be the main target of rivals, who are likely to once again confront him on issues from criminal justice to health care. Bloomberg Radio will carry them live starting at 8 Wall Street time. Capital One Financial says an email from a tipster alerted the bank to a data breach. A hacker gained access to personal information information on 100 million customers. Sports, the Mets traded pitcher Jason Vargas to the Phillies for a minor league catcher. The Mets play the White Sox tonight. And the Yankees host Arizona. The Red Sox play Tampa Bay. Last night, the Nationals won. The Orioles lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Coming up to 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's bring in Richard Jones from our Bloomberg Markets Live team. He's an FX and rate strategist there. And, of course, Richard, the story in the FX markets continues to be the pound sinking on continued preparations, the possibility of a no-deal Brexit. And I guess the question for observers is, how much lower can sterling go?
Hey, good morning, Nathan. Yeah, it's been a bit of one-way traffic, really, since Theresa May announced late May, early June, that she was going to be leaving number 10 Downing Street. And there was the anticipation building that Boris Johnson would be taking over from her. That has come to fruition. And now that there's been kind of what I would describe as a ramping up of no-deal Brexit from Boris Johnson and his new cabinet, the market has really decided to go after the pound. And I think that makes a lot of sense. What I do think, though, is that once we get into August, we get the Bank of England meeting out of the way on Thursday, I think we could see a little bit of a slowdown in the FX markets in general, but particularly in the sterling market. I think the pound is due a period of consolidation in August, but then once we get into September, Parliament gets back, and there's a lot more talk about what's going to happen with Brexit, then I think that the attack on sterling will resume in earnest in September.
So then do you see a support level for sterling at this point?
Well, I guess if you're looking, it depends what pair you're looking at. I mean, I look at euro sterling. I think that we almost reached 92 pence today in euro sterling. So I think that's going to be the resistance level, or if you flip it on its head, the support level for sterling, just below 92. And I think the lows that we saw in cable this morning will probably now act as a support. And it's going to take something material to get us right below 121. So I think that 121, 121.20 level in sterling versus US dollar is probably a decent support. And then in euro sterling, I think you're looking at 91.90 as capping the gains for the euro against the pound in the near term.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard from some observers, even on Bloomberg television, saying they don't see sterling as cheap right now. I mean, there are some who it seems as though think that the pound has quite a bit further to fall.
Yeah, well, I think if you look at the sort of longer-term metrics that a lot of people look at for currency valuation, so purchasing power parity is one of the classic ones. On those measures, yeah, I think the pound probably is undervalued, but we're actually seeing a fundamental change in the way the UK interacts with the rest of the world with Brexit. And if it doesn't go as smoothly as a lot of investors were anticipating it would, so if we do get this no-deal Brexit, then I think you've got to tear up the rule book a little bit, and you've got to look at what this new sterling relationship with the rest of the world will be. And so therefore, whatever your traditional metrics tell you about the pound, you've got to throw those out the window, because this is going to change everything.
I want to take some time to talk about the Federal Reserve rate decision coming up tomorrow. What's the outlook for Treasury yields as the Fed decides?
Well, I think if you look at it, this is very, very well priced by the market, and I think the Fed will probably deliver 25 basis points, and that shouldn't cause too much of a ruckus in the market. I think it depends what they say. If I look at the way the next 12 to 18 months are priced in terms of expectations, we've got, I guess, about another 100 basis points price. So I think if the Fed validates that, we won't see too much in terms of volatility. If the Fed pushes against that, or actually comes out slightly more dovishly than that, then I think things get interesting. But I think this is one of the most anticipated Fed meetings in terms of the way it's priced. I think it's efficiently priced. And I think what the Fed will deliver shouldn't give too many surprises to market participants.
More so for the forward guidance, you're saying, than for what the Fed actually does in terms of rates tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, there was a little bit of a 25 versus 50 debate going on a few weeks ago. But I think now everybody's kind of settled on 25 basis points as the base case. But then forward guidance, is I think the key thing that we're going to hear from the Fed, because how the way the market is viewing the unfolding of the interest rate curve over the next 12 to 18 months is what we need to hear from the Fed.
Richard Jones, FX rate strategist from our Bloomberg Markets Live team. Always good talking with you, Rich. Thanks so much. And Bloomberg customers can get more from Richard and the rest of the Markets Live team by typing MLIV Go on the Bloomberg terminal. Taking a look at Treasury yields ahead of the Fed's rate decision. The 10-year is yielding 2.05%. The 2-year, 1.83, almost 1.84%. And the British pound against the dollar, 1.2187. That's a drop of almost 0.3% on the session. This is Daybreak. 6:25 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, the latest on U.S.-China trade talks resuming in Shanghai and more of the latest news in business, economics, and finance as Bloomberg Daybreak continues.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The pound is trading at a 2-year low as bets on a no-deal Brexit rise. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Jessica Schenkelman in London.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson won't start talks with European Union leaders over Brexit unless they first agree to his demand to reopen the divorce deal they struck with his predecessor Theresa May last year. So far, EU leaders have refused. Johnson stepped up the government's preparations for leaving the EU without an agreement as his senior officials warned that the country will have no choice if the bloc does not change its approach to further negotiations. In London, Jessica Schenkelman, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jessica, thank you. U.S. futures are lower as trade talks between the U.S. and China resume. U.S. negotiators have arrived in Shanghai, and we get more from Bloomberg's Emma O'Brien in Beijing.
American delegates, including Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, will meet their Chinese counterparts at the Shanghai Peace Hotel for dinner. But hopes aren't high for a deal, with the two sides further apart than they were when talks broke down in April. China has said through state media it is pursuing a compromise in the talks and that the U.S. should meet it halfway. In Beijing, Emma O'Brien, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Emma, thank you. A big week for policy decisions. The yen is stronger after the Bank of Japan left interest rates unchanged and trimmed its inflation forecast. Tomorrow, the Federal Reserve is widely expected to cut rates by 25 basis points.
Today is a busy one on the earnings front, with Apple, Merck, and Procter & Gamble leading more than 50 companies in the S&P 500 reporting today.
Shares of Beyond Meat are down 12% in early trading. The faux meat company is letting early investors sell more than 3 million shares just 3 months after it went public.
In Europe, shares of BP are up 3%. The British oil company beat expectations and increased its cash flow in the second quarter.
And Citigroup is preparing to cut hundreds of jobs in its trading group. Bloomberg News has learned that Citi plans to slash jobs across its fixed income and stock trading operations. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 7 points. Dow futures down 57. NASDAQ futures down 32. The DAX in Germany is down 1.4%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 62 cents at $57.48 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $7.30 to $14.40.60 an ounce, and the British pound is at 1.2187 against the dollar. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and John Tucker's here with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Nathan. A hacker gained access to personal information from more than 100 million Capital One credit applications. Federal authorities arrested a suspect in the case. Paige Thompson, who also goes by the Twitter handle Erratic, was charged with a single count of computer fraud and abuse in U.S. District Court in Seattle. The bank says she accessed information including credit card scores and balances, plus the Social Security numbers of about 140,000 customers. Democrats are gathering in Detroit for a pivotal presidential debate over two nights. Campaigning last night in Toledo, Ohio, Senator Elizabeth Warren called for preconditions for U.S. trading partners.
You got to raise your labor standards. You got to raise your environmental standards. You got to raise your human rights standards.
Former Vice President Joe Biden has reversed a slump after the first debate and leads rivals with the support of 34% of Democrats and independent voters who lean toward the party. That's according to a Quinnipiac University poll. Bloomberg Radio will carry the debate starting at 8 p.m. Wall Street time. In the wake of Robert Mueller's warnings that Russians are intent on disrupting the U.S. 2020 election process, Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports Senate Majority Leader is holding his position on reform.
And Mitch McConnell is feeling some criticism for blocking election security bills from even reaching the floor for debate.
No, I'm not going to let Democrats and their water carriers in the media use Russia's attack on our democracy as a Trojan horse for partisan wish list items that would not actually make our elections any safer. Not going to do that.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer responds.
Here's an easy way for Leader McConnell to silence the critics who accuse him of blocking election security. Stop blocking it.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Trump administration must face a lawsuit by immigrants from Central America who claim U.S. border agents use threats and intimidation to deny them the opportunity to apply for asylum. A federal judge in San Diego has largely denied the government's request to dismiss the lawsuit. And drug makers Sanofi, Eli Lilly, and Novo Nordisk say they've received subpoenas from the New York Attorney General's office on prices for insulin. Skyrocketing prices for insulin, which many people with diabetes take daily to stay alive, have become a hot-button issue. Sanofi said the subpoena requests documents related to discount programs, sales and expenses, contracting, marketing materials, and legal proceedings. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
Thank you, John. Just before 6:36 on Wall Street, we check the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, amidst trade rumors, Noah Syndergaard's getting the start for the Mets tonight in Chicago against the White Sox. Word is, Mets having acquired Marcus Stroman from Toronto, then yesterday trading Jason Vargas to Philadelphia, are not done, looking to perhaps steal Syndergaard or Zach Wheeler, who, like Vargas, is in the last year of his contract. For Vargas, the Mets got 26-year-old catcher Austin Bosart, who was batting 195 in Double-A. As a Met, Vargas struggled last season, and early this year he has pitched well the past couple of months. He also made news when he threatened a writer. Yankees said to still be looking to acquire a starting pitcher before tomorrow's trade deadline. They host Arizona tonight with Jay Happ on the mound. Newly acquired Jets wideout Jamison Crowder hurt his foot late in practice, headed for an MRI. This comes just as second-year quarterback Sam Darnold was starting to feel comfortable with the new coaching staff.
You know, I feel like we're getting it. You know, we're getting the offense, and we're moving at a really good pace right now. We're moving through the installs, and guys are absorbing it, and they're performing out on the field. It's nice to do that. It's nice to come out here, and you know, I feel like the guys aren't thinking that much. They're just hearing the call and they're going. And I think that's a good thing as a quarterback to see the players or to see my teammates kind of go out there and make plays and play fast. It's a good feeling.
New Jet Le'Veon Bell yesterday tweeted an apology to fantasy football owners who drafted him last year. He then sat out the entire season. Miami Dolphins made some news. 1 week into training camp, they fired their offensive line coach. The Devils have traded two draft picks to Vegas for Nikita Gusev, who put up big numbers playing last season in Russia. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower.
Nathan. All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street, and today we get earnings from Apple in focus after the close of U.S. trading. We get a preview now from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Apple's fiscal third quarter is a cyclically weak period for iPhone sales, and Bloomberg Intelligence says the company has been managing well. Demand for iPhones has been further weighed down by weakness in China that resulted from the trade tensions with the U.S. and by difficult year-over-year comparisons. Sales of iPads, Mac services, and other products have been strong. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. There just aren't enough donated kidneys to go around. About 14,000 a year become available from deceased donors, but there are 90,000 people on the transplant waiting list. Every day, 13 die waiting. That's why living donors are so important and why donations should be encouraged rather than penalized. It's hardly an easy decision. Complications are rare, but all surgeries carry risk, and donors have to plan for a 2 to 6 week recovery period. This puts them at risk of being laid off. They might also find themselves denied health or life insurance. Donors should be protected from these costs, not just to reward their generosity, but because their selflessness provides clear public benefits. Nobody should lose a job or be denied health insurance for saving a life. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
The Senate's proposed $287 billion highway bill would address climate change for the first time in such legislation and represents the opening salvo in negotiations that will spread over several committees and eventually proposals from House lawmakers. Fiscal conservatives panned the legislation as more of the same when it comes to spending. The five-year draft bill from the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee includes new grants for bridges and a $1 billion grant program for electric vehicle charging stations and other alternative fuel vehicles, in addition to the climate section. A new congestion pricing program would allow tolling along existing stretches of interstate in as many as 10 additional urban areas, a move unpopular with trucking groups. Republican Committee Chairman John Barrasso of Wyoming says the bill cuts red tape so road construction can get done faster, better, and cheaper. That would include requiring completion of environmental reviews for major infrastructure programs within 2 years. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. It's 6:40 on Wall Street. Futures pointing to a lower open. S&P futures are down 8 points right now. Dow futures down 66. NASDAQ futures lower by almost 34 points. The 10-year up 3/32nds, yield 2.05%. 2-year treasury yield just shy of 1.84%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's almost 6:41 on Wall Street. Ahead of the first night of Democratic presidential debates in Detroit, we get a preview of the issues and the stakes with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Stay with us for that. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street, and futures are lower this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure on a busy day for earnings. Dow futures currently down 56 points. S&P dropped 7, and NASDAQ futures declined by 29. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.05%. Oil is trading higher, while European markets are trading lower, led by 1.7% losses in Italy and Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, personal income, spending, and PCE. And at 10 o'clock, pending home sales and consumer confidence. After the bell last night, Beyond Meat boosted its full-year net revenue forecast, but is plunging 13% in the pre-market after its plan to offer more shares. And regarding some of the earnings this morning, Xerox EPS beat the highest estimates. Lilly boosted full-year adjusted EPS forecast, and Merck beat estimates. Shares trading higher by 1.6% in the pre-market. Wrapping things up, Kinder Morgan was cut to market reform at BMO. Micron upgraded to equal weight at Morgan Stanley, while Pfizer was cut to equal weight. And Booz Allen downgraded to market reform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First American News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Joe Biden gained while Kamala Harris dropped at a new Quinnipiac University poll just ahead of the latest Democratic debates over the next 2 nights. Capital One Financial says data from about 100 million people in the U.S. was illegally accessed. The data includes about 140,000 Social Security numbers. And the Senate has lost a bid to override President Trump's veto and block arms sales to Saudi Arabia to punish the kingdom for the murder of columnist Jamal Khashoggi. Sports, the Mets traded pitcher Jason Vargas to the Phillies for a minor league catcher. The Mets play the White Sox tonight, while the Yankees host Arizona. And the Red Sox play Tampa Bay. Last night, the Nationals won, and the Orioles lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
John, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where, as you mentioned, the Senate did fail to override a veto of its bill to block arms sales to Saudi Arabia. Some other top stories in the nation's capital include the Senate holding hearings today on blockchain and the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade deal, and President Trump escalating his attacks on Congressman Elijah Cummings as he meets with a group of inner-city pastors at the White House. Also making news, of course, the Democratic presidential candidates preparing for their second round of debates over two nights in Detroit. Get a preview of that now from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And as John mentioned a minute ago, Kate, Joe Biden comes in after solidifying his role as the front runner. Does that sort of set up what we could see tonight?
Absolutely. In some ways, you know, obviously for a candidate, particularly someone like Joe Biden, who slumped in the polls a bit after his performance in the first debate, seeing a bit of a resurgence in the polls is definitely on its face a positive thing. However, it does solidify his position as the front runner heading into this debate, and that kind of puts a target on his back. We already knew that a lot of the candidates were going to be essentially looking to distinguish themselves vis-a-vis Joe Biden as the front runner, but, you know, seeing this kind of bump in the polls right ahead of the debate certainly underscores that that's likely to be the dynamic.
Now, Biden isn't going to be on the stage until tomorrow night. What should we expect this evening?
Well, I think one of the big dynamics this evening to keep an eye out for is we are going to have Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren both on stage tonight. And they're essentially two senators. Both of them are liberals from New England states. And they're essentially fighting each other right now to be the progressive alternative to Joe Biden. We've seen Elizabeth Warren get a lot of momentum after the first debate and in recent weeks. And I would expect a lot of the commentary after tonight's debate to center on the idea of whether or not Warren essentially leapfrogged over Sanders in terms of kind of breaking out and establishing herself as the sort of frontline alternative to Biden as a progressive candidate. If she's not successful in doing that, I think then that will also be a topic of discussion. So there's really kind of high expectations, I think, tonight for Elizabeth Warren and how she performs.
So how do the other eight candidates who are going to be appearing on stage alongside Sanders and Warren distinguish themselves? I mean, there are a lot of candidates in this field running out of chances to meet the higher thresholds to get on stage for the next rounds of debates.
Absolutely. So that's really the high stakes dynamic for those that aren't in the top four or five over the two nights, is to kind of have a breakout moment. We saw the ability to do that from Kamala Harris in the first round of debates last month. And essentially, she really took on Joe Biden head to head and on the issue of race. And that really led to a jump in both her polling and her fundraising and her name recognition. And so I think it's fair to characterize that as a bit of a breakout moment for Kamala Harris. We could see something similar tonight or tomorrow night with one of the other candidates. However, as you pointed out, you know, time is running short in a way for these other folks to distinguish themselves and really kind of get their names on the radar as we go into this next round of debates after this one, and also, you know, look ahead to the Iowa caucuses, which, in fact, even though February seems like a long way off, are pretty fast approaching.
Yeah, it just drags on for months, doesn't it? You mentioned race. Obviously, that has been a huge issue over the last couple of weeks now, with the president seeming to be focused on that. Is that the issue that's going to come to the fore in Detroit, part of a state that was pretty crucial to President Trump's victory in 2016?
Well, absolutely. So Trump was the first Republican candidate, or marked the first time that a Democratic presidential candidate didn't win Michigan in 28 years. And so I think that that is going to be a significant battleground in 2020, one that Democrats, you know, carries a significant number of electoral votes, one that Democrats, I think, feel that they need to work very hard to get back in 2020. And so that makes the setting for tonight's debate in Detroit even more significant, particularly given the national conversation, or the presidential candidate conversation, on both sides around race in recent weeks. We see Trump, you know, in his attacks over the weekend on Elijah Cummings and on the city of Baltimore, sort of reframing the racial issue on his own terms. But I would expect a number of the candidates to attempt to appeal to African-American voters tonight, both in Michigan and across the country. And that voter turnout in support of whoever becomes the Democratic nominee is going to be really essential, not just in Michigan, but in other battleground states as well, when we look ahead to the general election.
What about the trade issue? I know that many of the candidates on the progressive wing of the spectrum don't necessarily differ too much, you know, on the policy front when it comes to trade with President Trump.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, you know, where we see in some ways there's kind of a meeting around, instead of in the middle, kind of almost around the edges, come back to meet around the backside there on an issue like trade, where traditionally most Republicans have been more in the kind of the free trade camp, which is certainly not where Trump is. And Democrats traditionally, with their alliances with labor unions, have been more protectionist. And so now what we're seeing is certain Democratic candidates, you know, hewing more on what has traditionally been the Democratic line, which is more protectionist, and that actually mirrors somewhat what some of Trump's policies are when it comes to steel and manufacturing and that sort of thing. So that will be also an interesting dynamic to watch and see how different candidates play that, how many are actually sort of indicting Trump's trade policy or looking to, you know, have their essentially their own version of Trump's trade policy.
Our last less than a minute here. Are there one or two candidates in particular you're looking for to have breakout moments in these debates?
So I think Cory Booker is worth watching. He's someone that's kind of tried to take on Biden directly on race. He certainly has done that, but I think he hasn't really gotten the kind of traction that Kamala Harris got out of that. And so I think he's someone to watch, whether or not he's able to elevate, you know, what has really kind of been just sort of a sniping match between him and Biden to kind of the next level during these debates. So I would certainly watch him closely. Also, Beto O'Rourke is someone who's gotten, you know, a lot of buzz around him, but really hasn't kind of broken through yet. And so I think that this could be a moment for him to do that or not do that.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, we know you'll be listening, and you can listen to the Democratic debates from Detroit beginning at 8 p.m. Wall Street time tonight, right here on Bloomberg Radio. 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Negative yields have never truly made sense, and yet it's starting to feel as if the once absurd is becoming, well, normal. Can you even call something that offers no fixed income payments and guarantees a loss if held to maturity a bond? With the Fed set to lower interest rates this week for the first time in a decade, there's never been a more critical time to assess how to navigate this brave new world. Bridgewater Associates founder Ray Dalio is among those who expect central banks will continue to amass government debt and keep interest rates anchored at or below zero. This is a fragile equilibrium. For now, bond traders aren't staging any sort of buyer's strike, and traditional 60-40 investors are content as long as stocks hit new highs. But if negative yields stay with us too much longer, it's setting the stage for the death of the bond market as we know it. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. We're watching shares of Merck. They are currently up 4.9% in early trading. It boosted its outlook for the year as earnings beat the highest estimate of analysts we surveyed. And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures, they're down about 7 points. Dow futures down 41, and NASDAQ futures are down about 30. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.84%. And NYMEX crude oil is up about 1% right now. It's at $57.41 a barrel. That's up 54 cents. Watching the British pound as well at 1.2171 against the dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Jonathan Farrow and Paul Sweeney. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.